I think I clicked the switch. Yes, I did. Now, just have to give me a second here because technology is wonderful when it works. So just give me a second here. Don't you find it amazing how everything works perfectly, you know, before the time comes, and then right at the last second, something just doesn't quite click. Murphy did it? I'll have to remember that. The Irish. Yeah, the Irish, huh? Yeah. Okay, let me just try this. Shazam. No, it didn't work. This morning, I would like to, instead of, normally I like to regale you all with a humorous story to begin, right? Yeah, can I have your assistance, Leo? I'm sorry, Angela. I'm going to steal your husband. Is that okay? Excuse me. Yeah, okay. You can push the buttons. Here's my little button pusher. Thanks, Leo. Do you want a cushion down there? I'm sorry. Okay. Normally, I like to regale you with a somewhat humorous story, but this morning, I'm not going to do that. Because this morning, I want to be real with you. I want to be honest with you. I like to be honest with you guys all the time anyway, except for the youth when I'm illustrating. And then I like to mess with their heads. Yeah. But anyway, that's another issue. But this morning, I want to be honest. And I want to speak from my heart. And from the journey that I've been on, in fact, my entire life. And it's the same journey that I'm going to continue on for the rest of my life. I was talking to a man the other day who brought himself a brand new iPhone, an iPhone 3GS, like the one that's not doing what it's supposed to do right now. But that's beside the point. I was speaking to him about it, and I don't know if you guys know much about the iPhone, but the iPhone is often held up as the ultimate cell phone. I keep wanting to say mobile, but I have to remember you guys call it cell phone over here. It does just about everything. In fact, one of their slogans is, you know, if you want something, there's an app for that. There's an application that'll do exactly what you want. It'll do everything from read your emails and send emails, take photos, you can listen to music, you can watch TV shows, you can even, I don't know, I've even got this app that you can look at where the planets are in the sky and you can see, oh, hey, Jupiter, if I'm careful and concentrate and I'm not in Fresno where there's lots of lights, I can look and I can find where Jupiter is in the sky. It can do so much. So I was talking to this guy and he was going on about some of the stuff that he had for it. But then he said, but you know what? I don't bother charging that thing. I said, excuse me? He said, I don't bother charging it. I figure whenever I want to use it, I'll just plug it in. This isn't a true story, by the way, but but whenever I want to use my phone, I'll just plug it in. Do you think that's crazy? Why? Why is that crazy? Because you're not mobile anymore? That's pretty crazy, right? It kind of defeats the whole purpose of the cell phone in the first place, doesn't it? If it's not charged up and ready to go. You need that thing charged up because when you go out, if you're going out on a trip and you break down on the side of the highway and you need to call AAA, what you going to do if you've got no charge? This reminds me somewhat of something that Jesus said. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13 says this. Jesus said, "You are the salt of the earth, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men." This kind of reminds me of a cell phone that doesn't get used like it should. What's the point of it? It's kind of useless if you're just going to plug it in everywhere you go, right? It's funny that Jesus was talking about cell phones back in his day. But anyway, this kind of reminds me somewhat of how our spiritual lives can be. Sometimes our spiritual lives can be like that fake guy and his cell phone. Every day when you go to bed, well, sorry, let me speak for myself. Every day when I go to bed, I plug my cell phone in so that it is ready to go the next day. And then I can go out and do whatever I need to do. When it connects to the computer, I can control my sermons and, you know, it'll do whatever it needs to do for the day. And then when I come home at night, I plug it back in and it's fully charged, ready to go for the next day. But sometimes we tend to treat our spiritual lives more like that fictitious guy. When we need it, we'll plug it in. But at most of the other times, we're not fully charged. Let me explain what I mean. I was talking to a young man one day, and he said, "Cal, why isn't my wife happy?" We were discussing matters a little bit further, and I said to him, "Well, tell me a little bit about, you know, how it works for you guys. Tell me a little bit about an average day in your life." The young man said, "Well, I get up in the morning, and the first thing I do when I get up is I'll send my wife a text telling her good morning and I love her. I'll get ready and I'll go to work. And then about the middle of the day, I'll send my wife a text saying thank you for the packed lunch that you sent me. Then after work," he said, "I come home and I like to sit down and relax and just watch some TV. And so after I sit down and watch the TV and eat my dinner, I'll text my wife and say, thank you so much for cooking me a meal. Then I'll get ready and go get myself ready and go to bed. And just before I get into bed, I'll send her one last text of the day telling her I had a great day and I love her very much." I said, "Excuse me?" I said, "Is that really all that you guys do?" And he said, "Well, no, because we actually have something very special. It's called our date night." I said, "Great. Well, explain this date night thing to me." He said, "Well, I like to get dressed up and then I go out. And then I go and hang out with some friends for about an hour and we sit around together." Can you just go back one? Sit around together and you need to just go forward too. Okay, thanks. "And we sit around together and we talk about life and we talk about my wife." And I said, "That's it?" "Well, no, then after that, we all go and sit together and we listen to some person talk about my wife for about 30 minutes. And that's the extent of our marriage." Has this rung any bells? Next slide. When you think about that marriage, how successful would it be? Who thinks that marriage would last more than 20 minutes? I mean, seriously, you can't seriously expect to get through a marriage like that, can you? I want to ask you a question, because this is a question I have been asking myself. How is it that we so often treat our relationship with God like that? I mean, seriously. Maybe we thank him for the food that he's provided, maybe 3 times a day, and maybe we get up and say a quick prayer in the morning, quick prayer at night. And then we come to church and we talk about him, and then we listen to me talk about God. And then we just go on and do our thing. How is it that I can expect my spiritual walk with God to blossom if that's all I'm doing? I mean, seriously, something's wrong. Like I said, I'm wanting to be real with you this morning because this is what I find myself going through. I find myself falling into this pattern of just, you know, just treating God like that fictitious, once again, relationship. If you could call it a relationship. God, often when we think about our day and when we think about our busy schedules, what's the first thing that gets knocked off your to-do list in the morning if you happen to have an extra 10 minutes in bed? For me, I find often that thing is time with God, right? Often time with God is one of the first things that gets pushed aside. Often spending time with Him gets moved down my to-do list. I don't know if you can relate to that or not, but I find myself doing that. This is Confessions of a Youth Pastor. Maybe I won't get my wage this week, huh? But you know what I'm saying, right? I'm sure most of you can relate. And the other thing is too, it's not just necessarily that. I mean, usually we hear about, you know, often the first thing to go will be, well, I'm not sure if I'm going to make the bills. So what about my tithe? Maybe I'll just hold off paying that for a while. Tithe is supposed to be the first 10%. The first 10%, not the last, you know? And the same with our offerings. When it comes to my relationship with God, why is it that I tend to push Him down the list? And in doing so, I'm not recharging my battery. I need to be charged every single moment of every single day, right? Not just because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a human. We all need to be charged every moment of every day, don't we? You see, I know this guy, and this is the real story. I know this guy who wasn't fully charged, and it left him in a bit of a mess. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, and we're going to start right there. This is a well-known story. Matthew chapter 19, we're going to start right there in verse 16. Matthew 19, verse 16. Matthew 19, verse 16 says this. Now a man came up to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" "Why do you ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There is only one who is good. If you want to enter life, obey the commandments." "Which ones?" the man inquired. Jesus replied, "Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother and love your neighbor as yourself." "All these I have kept," the young man said. "What do I still lack?" Jesus answered. Just a second, let me back up for a second there. The guy says, "What have I got to do to be saved? What do I have to do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus says, "Obey the commandments." So the guy says, "You know what? Honor my father and mother. Do not commit adultery." He goes down the checklist and he says, "You know what? I've got this covered." But there was something in his heart that said, surely there's got to be more, right? Because he says, "What do I still lack?" He asked that question. What am I still missing? He knew he was missing something. And Jesus answered him this way. "If you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor. Then you'll have treasure in heaven. and then come and follow me. And the story ends up this way. When the young man heard this, he went away sad because he had great wealth. Just think about that for a minute. Here is this guy, this young guy, who's really well off, and he has everything he could possibly want. And he hears Jesus' teachings, and he likes what he hears. So he wants Jesus' opinion. He goes to him, and Jesus says, "You got to keep the commandments." The young guy says, "I'm doing that." Jesus says, "I want you to lose your wealth. I want you to give up everything you have. I want you to give up your position of power." Because let's face it, you don't usually get wealthy by chance or by being, you know, in a lowly position, right? He must have had some position of power. Jesus says, give that up. All that junk that you've got sitting around your house, including your house and the furniture, the nice donkey, sell it all off. And then come follow me. This is what it takes to have life. And the guy thinks about it. And he says, I can't do that. Why not? Why is that guy not prepared to give up all that he has? I think it's because he was like the guy with that iPhone. I think with his spiritual life, he only wanted to plug it in when he needed it. You get what I'm saying? You see, he recognized that something wasn't quite right and that he wasn't necessarily saved. And so he goes to Jesus to plug himself in. And he says, Jesus, what's this last thing I'm lacking? And Jesus says, you say you keep the commandments, you fall down at the first one. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. He can't give his stuff away. He's tied to his material possessions. And to me, his battery isn't charged. You see, when I look through the Bible and I read stories about some of those guys and some of the experiences that they went through, I think, man, they endured so much hardship. I think about the last sermon I preached, Are You Nuts? Remember? Who were the two guys in there? Anyone remember? Paul and Silas, right, were sitting in that prison, and they were thinking, they were praising. They were in the middle of this horrendous experience, and they were praising God. And I think I have to be fully charged. Like those guys, I really, really, really want to be like Daniel. Remember Daniel? What was his deal? What was the go with Daniel? Sorry? He got thrown into a lion's den. But the Bible tells us something amazing about Daniel. The Bible tells us that Daniel, why did he get put in the lion's den? Maybe that's a better question. Because he prayed, someone said, faithfully to God. Yeah, not to King Darius, that's right. And he was there by his window 3 times a day, every single day, because he wanted his battery fully charged. And the Bible goes on further, as you read further through Daniel and some of the prophecies, you find that an angel comes and says to Daniel, Daniel, you are, does anyone know this verse? You are what? Anyone know it? I hear it somewhere, I think. Highly esteemed. Daniel faithfully goes to God three times a day. And I'm sure he talked to God a lot more than those three times a day. But he faithfully was on his knees three times a day. And because of that connection, because he was always constantly plugged into God, when he found himself, well, heaven calls him highly esteemed. And then when he found himself in the lion's den, it's no biggie. I'm sure he was a bit concerned, but he survived. And I think about Moses. How does the Bible describe Moses' relationship with God? Yeah, Moses, Moses must have had a good relationship with God. God led him through the Red Sea. But the Bible talks about Moses as being able to talk with God as if they were face to face. And remember the stories about how Moses would go out into the tent of meeting and he would hang out there and talk with God about stuff that was on his mind. And then one time, after an encounter with God, Moses comes out and what's up with his face? You remember? It was glowing, it was shining. In fact, it was shining so much that everyone was tripping out and going, whoa, man, put that thing away. And they made him wear a veil. You know, the Bible says, do not covet, but I covet. I covet a relationship with God like those guys had. And the thing is, I can have that relationship, but there's something that's stopping me. Anyone know what that is? It's me. I get in my way. And I don't connect like I should. You know, I think about myself. Some crazy Australian guy who's got a weird accent. This is me in my natural state, by the way. And I think about me and I think about connecting with God. And I ask myself this, why do I find it so easy to connect with the world, right? It's easy to sit down and watch TV or jump on the internet or play video games or text away on my cell phone or whatever it is. I find it so easy to do these things. And yet, why do I have so much trouble connecting with God? Why do I find God so difficult to connect with? Why isn't he number one on my to-do list every moment of every day? Now I have to ask you this. I'm compelled to ask you this question. I've talked a bit about me so far. I want to ask you about you. How much time, think about your average day. How much time do you spend watching TV? How much time do you spend surfing the internet? How much time do you spend talking on your phone? How much time do you even spend at work? Think about that. Now think about how much time you spend with God. I know that if I look like every good Christian and like every good pastor, I say, God is my number one top priority. And I believe that. And I want him to be my number one priority. But when I look at my day and I slot that into where God is on my priority list, in reality, it looks like God is somewhere down the bottom. And I ask myself, why? What is wrong with me? I need to make a change. I think to myself, why does God get put down there? Is it that he's boring? And then I think about this. I think God's not boring. I mean, God spoke and a bunch of animals appeared. Really cool animals too. God spoke and the universe was created. My God can rain fire down from heaven. My God can destroy armies with his breath. My God can calm the raging sea. My God can heal the sick. And more than that, my God can raise the dead to life. Is my God boring? Certainly not. Is your God boring? Why does he go down that to-do list? The other thing about God is that he was willing to give himself. You see, he wasn't just content with showering us with blessings, but he was willing to give himself. He was willing to come down and, as we've just celebrated, be born as a human. He was willing to walk among us. And more than that, he was willing to give his life for us. He loves us so much. So God's not boring because he can do some really cool stuff. God loves us so much. He did everything he possibly could to connect us back together. You know, the whole sin problem separated us. That's why the world's messed up, etc., etc. Most of you have probably heard that a lot before, you know. God has done all that he can to bring us back together. So I ask myself, why is it that I'm not fully charged? Why is it that I shuffle God down my to-do list? And as we mentioned before, I keep coming back to that answer. The problem is me. So this year, we've just had New Year's. And what's the big thing with New Year's? Resolutions. I want to make a resolution. And I want you all to know about it because I think it's a good resolution. I want to get fit. That's my no, I'm just kidding. That's often everybody's resolution, right? But I seriously want to make a resolution. I want to be fully charged every single moment of every single day. I want to connect with my God every moment of every single day. I want to walk with my God every moment of every single day. That is my New Year's resolution. And I hope that it is yours too. I want to share with you a video clip. It's a video clip of a song. And as you listen to it, I want you to concentrate on the words. And I hope that this is your prayer, because I know that it's mine in all moments of all my life. Give me Jesus.
In the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, in the morning, when I rise, give me Jesus, give me Jesus. Have all this world, give me Jesus. When I am alone, when I am alone, oh, when I
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we recognize that you are awesome. We recognize that you are great. We recognize that you are powerful. And we recognize that you love us so much. As we begin this year, Father, we just ask that you help us to keep our batteries fully charged. Help us not to have a phony, ridiculous sort of marriage, like that illustration. We want Jesus every moment of every day. Help us to walk with you so that we can have that, because we love you and we're looking forward to seeing you real soon. You're an awesome God. Amen.